Well, we are now nearing, I promise you, journey's end. We've left behind ignorance with all his ideas about religion and how to find God and what a good relationship with him looks like. He was following his own heart, not the scripture, not the true character of God. But now, Christian and hopeful, have entered a land called Beulah. Beulah, that means married. It's there in the prophecy of Isaiah. God calls the one who is forgotten and discarded and unloved is now married. And he talks about the land, but of course beyond the land he means the people. The people are his people and he is their husband and he has married them. But anyway, the picture Bunyan draws for us here is of this beautiful land, Christian and hopeful now, far behind them, doubting castle and the valley of the shadow of death. They have beautiful things to see. Gardens here, birds that are singing, the air is sweet, and there is now a wonderful view of Journey's End, the celestial city. And it is so golden and bright. Indeed, it is so bright that they have to have a kind of glass to be able to look at it through, because otherwise it would just be too overpowering. And they are feeling, oh, so much that they want to be there. Their longings to be in heaven overcome them, that they fall to the ground weak. They have no strength. It's left them because they're so taken up with what they're seeing and the hope of what's coming. They see the golden streets. They see the pearls. They see all of the beauty that the city is made of. And it is just overcoming them. And they see these vineyards and these gardens, and they ask a gardener, what's all this? Oh, said the master, provides this for his own glory, sort of shows what he's like, and also for the enjoyment of pilgrims. He said, pilgrims come here, and they, when they fall asleep here, they cry out in their sleep, because they're so taken up with Journey's End, with the celestial city. And apparently there, he says, the Lord also sends at times messengers into Beulah, and they encourage and they bring words from the city there to press on that they're nearly there. And behold, the king is coming. And so it's a very happy place for pilgrims to be. And they're talking together there and recounting their journey so far and all their hopes of where they're going. And they're met by two shining ones, two angels. And they talk as well about the city and tell them about what it's going to be there. And really, all is looking so good. Until they come to a river, a dark, cold river. And there's no bridge, nothing to get you from one side of it over to the city. There it stands. And the shining ones say, you've got to go through there. Only two people have ever not had to go through there, Enoch and Elijah. Because they were taken straight up to glory, weren't they, there in that way. And they were no more because God had taken them. But for the rest of us, what's this river telling us? What's it telling us? What's this river stand for? What stands between us and heaven? Dark, cold river. Grace? Death. It's death. No way around it. Unless the Lord returns before then, otherwise for all of us, if we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have to die first before we get there. Death. People are afraid of death, aren't they? This is a big thing. Death. Every human being. Death. Whether they want to think about it or not, there it stands, and we have to think about it, even though we're young. And I trust God has got many, many good years ahead for you and many good things that you will be able to do for him and for your fellow man. But one day, death, there it is, and Christian hopeful, look at that. And the shining ones say, well, we're going to leave you now. We'll meet you on the other side, but you have to go through for yourself. You'll need faith. You're relying now on faith. So there they are, and they begin to go in. They're looking quite nervous about all of this. And Christian quickly finds himself out of his depth. It's a nasty feeling. If you haven't been in water, been out of your depth, and you're struggling, and you can't find the bottom, you can't stand on it, and the water's over you. And he's very, very afraid all of a sudden. And he's crying out. And he's forgotten all the good things that had already happened. The blessings that he'd enjoyed and the help he'd enjoyed, suddenly this is just too big for him. And it is as though no help before will be of any help to him now. And he begins to think he's been deserted, left, that he's not going to be helped, he's not going to get to heaven. And he just can see all of his sin and every reason why God should just turn away from him. It's easy to get discouraged. There's Christian, he's been our hero, hasn't he, there? He's been marching on so well. Okay, he's had his less wonderful moments and going off into Doubting Castle and that. There he's been. And now look at him, struggling there in the face of the final enemy, death. And he can't find his feet on the bottom, and he's panicking there, and he thinks he's deserted. It happens to Christians. It happens to them. And sometimes we can feel that because we're afraid, we surely can't be Christians. That's what Christian was thinking. And hopeful, the clue's in the name, isn't it there? Hopeful comes with hope to a Christian. Oh, he said, a little bit like we were just reading in that psalm a moment ago, all the wicked can sometimes feel really comfortable about things. And even in death at times, they can seem to have no pain at all. They amaze us sometimes that they can look so calm and peaceful about it. They're not entitled to feel calm and peaceful, but they do. And Christians who think, well, we should be calm and peaceful about it, and suddenly we're not. Well, no, he said, that's not a sign you're not a Christian. Non-Christians can look really happy about death in some bizarre way. But Christians sometimes, despite all we know, and we do know it really in our hearts, it can all seem to have flee away from us. And so hopeful is there, and he quotes him some other things from the Bible there. And then he says to him about the Lord Jesus makes you well. And that's it. He hears the name again. And now he can see the city, and he can see the gate, and he can remember all the good things that God has done for him. And so both of them then emerge out of the river. They've passed through death. They've come through to the other side. So, well, various lessons, aren't there, there? Well, death, remember. At some point or other, each of us, we need to be ready now, like Christian and Hopeful were, that we've actually got a good reason to suppose that if we were to die, we would find ourselves arriving in heaven, not in hell. We need to know now, have I been forgiven? Am I trusting in the Lord? Am I still under his condemnation there? Have I truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and discovered how loving he is towards sinners and made my pitch there, as it were, and settled all my hope upon him? Have we done that? We need to know and make sure we have. But if you are a Christian, and at times you can feel so discouraged, and you think, oh, what am I? Who am I? Is God with me? Well, there's Christian. And sometimes we can feel mightily out of our depth. And we sometimes have to wait a little while until the Bible begins again to make sense to us and the glorious promises of Christ break in upon us with freshness. Be patient. There was Hopeful. Somewhere in the true child of God, there's hope. There's hope. There's somewhere, if we can put it like that. And sooner or later, God will open a door and hope will address us again, point us to heaven, and remind us that you are a true child of God, and that is your heavenly home. So there's John Bunyan, as ever, the master pastor, really, there. Knew people, wrote about them, sinners, he knew all about them. Of course, he was writing a lot about himself, wasn't he? He was telling us about himself before he became a Christian. He knew his heart well, but he also knew his heart after he became a Christian, the various trials that he had endured. And has written this for our help and instruction too. So we're there, aren't we? We've arrived, but we've got more to say about it, God willing, in a week's time. So now we're singing hymn number 123, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, 123.